This is Digital Dave, and I'm joined by Dave Franson of the Wichita Aero Club. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Dave.
Great. What is exactly the Wichita Aero Club?
Well, the Wichita Aero Club is a networking organization in Wichita to address aviation issues. And one of our big aviation issues these days is the restoration of a B-29 doc from a squadron that was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Now, you realize, of course, that everyone here at Oshkosh is waiting with bated breath for the appearance of Doc.
Well, Doc's going to appear one of these days because, as you know, Dave, Doc flew within the last couple of weeks for the first time in 60 years.
That's an amazing achievement alone.
Yeah.
Let's start with the history of Doc, how Doc came to be available in your possession, the whole bit.
All right. Well, Doc was actually built originally in 1944. Didn't quite make it into the war. But as I said, it was part of a squadron that was Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs, and the Wicked Witch. There were nine airplanes. They ended up in a radar calibration role after the war, and Doc flew until 1956 and eventually was ferried out to China Lake, where it was towed out into the desert and was used, believe it or not, as a target for naval bombing runs. I guess, with no disrespect to the Navy, fortunately they didn't hit it.
And it just sat there. In typical government operation mode, it just was forgotten for how many years?
Well, it was there until 1987, when a gentleman by the name of Tony Mazzolini, who is from Cleveland, Ohio, rescued it. And he put it on 13 flatbed trucks, and he trucked it to Wichita, Kansas. He'd gotten together with a gentleman who was the CEO at that time of Spirit Aerosystems. Spirit is, if you will, an offshoot of Boeing. Boeing was in Wichita for 83 years before they finally left a couple of years ago. I say a couple of years ago. It's been
a while.
Been a while. Yeah, it's hard to believe how long it's been. But when Boeing left, they sold most of their commercial operations and most of their facilities to Spirit, a company that was formed under the leadership of Jeff Turner. And Jeff and Tony got together, and they in turn formed an organization called Doc's Friends, which is a nonprofit, a 501c3, designed specifically to restore this B-29 and obviously support the effort to raise money first for the restoration, then eventually to we're going to build a hangar to be the home of Doc in Wichita. And that process began in 1987. It kind of hit a hiatus there for a while, and in 1991 it was kind of restarted. And you can take a look at the results over the course of those last 15 years. 2 weeks ago on Sunday, Doc took to the air again for the first time since it ferried that ferry flight out to China Lake.
That's amazing. How do you put together a cadre of volunteers that large? I mean, that's not just any airplane.
Well, Tony Mazzolini wasn't choosing any old place to go when he chose Wichita. Boeing Wichita is where Doc was originally built. Boeing Wichita built 1,644 of the 3,895 B-29s that were built, and Doc was one of them. And so he took Doc home. There were still an awful lot of people, believe it or not, that had worked on B-29s. In fact, there were more than a handful that had worked on Doc. It's interesting that there are still some of those that are able to volunteer their time. There were thousands and thousands of hours, volunteer hours, that were put into putting Doc back together again.
Was the goal always a flying restoration, or was there talk of a static restoration?
No, this was always a flying restoration.
It was practiced during the war that workers would sign the airplane where they worked on it, like inside the fuselage. Did you guys discover any of those things?
You know, I don't think the airplane was in a condition where you could find anything like that. Now, if someone were to look downstream from now, you'll find some signatures.
Oh, there you go, in special places.
Right.
Now she's flown. I also understand that
we called Doc a him because Doc was a he.
Okay, that's fair enough. I understand you got with the Commemorative Air Force, and they helped you on the engines.
The Commemorative Air Force has been tremendously helpful in every phase, such that Doc wouldn't have flown without the CAF. In point of fact, the pilot who flew the first flight, I call it the first flight, the return to flight, was Charlie Tillman, who flies Fifi.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can't find too many current B-29 pilots around.
Isn't that a fact?
Yeah. You're hoping to make a few more, though.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's going to be in Oshkosh next year, maybe?
Cross your fingers, and yes, that's certainly a goal.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah.
Now, you got to fly off the 40 hours, just like every experimental?
Oh, yeah. We've got a quite a program, and needless to say, we've got a lot of very specific requirements that are spelled out by the FAA.
Okay. So the military systems, the systems that made it a bomber, they don't really probably care about. What they're interested in is the basic flight systems, engines, landing gear, safety gear, all that stuff.
All of those kind of things. And this being a very unique situation, there are some very unique requirements.
Okay. Yeah. Well, specific to that aircraft alone, I imagine, that type of aircraft. But they don't really care if the turrets work.
Well, let's put it this way. This airplane isn't identical to what came off the production line, and thankfully so in some ways. I mean, it's a beautifully, highly polished exterior, for instance. That's not the way it looked when it came off the production line. This one's not pressurized. We don't plan to fly it at those altitudes.
Right.
So there are a lot of differences, and needless to say, we're not going to fire any guns and drop any bombs. So there are some other changes.
Come on, some watermelons. Come on. The plane sat in China Lake for 50 years? Almost.
Well, from 1956 to 1987, that's 31 years.
31 years. Yeah. What about corrosion? How bad was it?
You know, there are obviously some things that had to be dealt with. And this one was in remarkably good shape, I think, compared to some that others have tried to restore. And I think his estimation, this was probably the best of anything that he could choose to try and restore. So this was the best one he found.
Okay, so you make it sound like he had already decided to restore a B-29 and was looking for one.
I think he had an intention long before he found this particular airplane.
Okay, I thought it was the reverse. I thought, like, hey, I learned about a B-29. Let's restore it. You know?
No, I think this was a man who had an intention all along.
Very driven.
He is, and he's just a tremendous individual who he knows how to get things done.
Yep. So you've worked on the plane personally, I assume.
I have not. I'd like to say that I put my hands on this airplane and have done things with it. I've been in it. I've been able to touch a lot of the finished work. I have great admiration for the hundreds. I could probably even say, I don't know if there's 1,000 people that have worked on it, but there's thousands and thousands of hours that have gone into this airplane. I work more with my pen and my fingers and my voice, and so that's been my role. And it's minimal compared to some of the other people. I mean, I just am a great admirer of this project and try to do what I can to support it that way. And I'm here basically to say that there's still a lot to be done to support Doc. We need to not only get it in the air, keep it in the air, and financially support that effort, but we've got to build a hangar for it at Wichita Dwight D. Eisenhower National Airport so it has a home. And right now, believe it or not, it sits outside in Wichita, Kansas, which happens to be in what a lot of people like to call Tornado Alley.
Right.
So we get some pretty severe weather in Wichita. Now, it sits next to some hangars that are in what's euphemistically called, or maybe it's really called now because it's been acquired, the Air Capital Flight Line. These are buildings that were once part of the Air Force One complex where we completed Air Force One
at
Boeing Wichita.
The current Air Force One.
The current Air Force One, yeah. And but when Boeing left Wichita, those were made available, and they were purchased by some investors, and subsequently have been made available. And the old Air Force One hangar is available, and in the event of severe weather, we can move Doc. We have a permission to move Doc into that building, but that's a temporary situation, and that's not going to be the permanent home. So we have to build a hangar for Doc.
Right, build one from scratch. The plan is not to purchase. The plan is to build.
Right, and we do have some plans. They are it's a very, very impressive, good hangar. It's got the accommodation for museum style display of Doc and availability for people, the public to come and see it. It's over at the municipal airport, so it will be available to the public. You can fly in and see it. That's one of the it's a multiple use airport, so you'll be able to do that. Whereas right now, it's located at the former Boeing facility, but that happens to be co-located at McConnell Air Force Base, and it's a restricted use.
Yep,
you can't fly in and just taxi up and say, "I'd like to go in and take a look at
that." Can I see Doc? Yeah,
no, sorry about that.
Yeah. How can the general public help support you?
Well, we have a website. It's b29doc.com. You can go to that site. There's lots of information about Doc, all of the information about the history of the airplane, and information on how you can contribute to the Doc's friends and contribute to the support of Doc as it's being restored and continues to work towards coming to places like Oshkosh, and eventually it'll go on tour and so on, and towards the construction of a hangar.
Fantastic, fantastic. Do you guys have a presence here at Oshkosh somewhere?
Well, in the past, we've had one over in the a commemorative Air Force-type area. This year, it's not as formalized as it used to be. We were hoping to possibly even be on a schedule that would have Doc in the air before Oshkosh this year and maybe have the airplane here. So things changed a little bit as the schedule moved to the right. So our presence isn't as obvious as it was even in the last couple of years. But we'll be a big part of Oshkosh in years to come.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
So are we.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for joining us. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.